Thanks for checking out the My City Church podcast today. If this is your first time listening in with us, we want you to know that you are loved. Wherever you're joining us from, we hope that this message inspires you. And now, here is Pastor Jesse Norman.
How many of you are thankful today that the cross equals love in our life, that Jesus poured out his best so that we could experience the goodness and the grace of God? And today, as we celebrate Resurrection Sunday, I couldn't be more excited. Right after this, at 2 p.m., we have a massive egg hunt going on. Love for you to bring your kiddos and hang out. If you haven't heard about it, that's your announcement for it. But if you have, welcome to the party. And we got food trucks out there and inflatables and bunnies and all kinds of great stuff. It's going to be a great day. But before we do that, I want to dive into the Word of God, because I think I have a message today that's going to, I think, introduce you to maybe a brand new way of thinking about your relationship with God. And not only that, is really the pathway to living a resurrected life. And if you got your Bibles with me, Luke chapter 24, I'm going to read a little bit of a lengthy story. It's one of my favorite stories about Jesus after the resurrection, and it's entitled The Road to Emmaus. And here's what it says in verse 13. It says, "Now that same day, two of them being disciples, were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened." It's a little key phrase, everything that had happened. "As they walked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked alongside of them on the road. But they were kept from recognizing him." Another little key phrase there, kept from recognizing him. "He asked them, 'What are you discussing together as you walk along?' Then they stood still and their faces were downcast. One of them, named Cleopas," boy, that name gets me every time. Cleopas, Cleoply, Cleoplo, Cleomplang. You pick whichever one you like, and that's who it is. Cleo, there we go. Our homie Cleo, all right. "And named Cleo asked him, 'Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem that does not know the things that have happened there in these days?' 'What things?' he asked. 'About Jesus of Nazareth,' they replied. 'He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priest and handed him over to a sentence of death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one that would redeem Israel. And what more, it's been 3 days since all of this took place. In addition, some of the women have amazed us.'" I love the way the Bible writes things. "It just didn't, you know, women amaze us. That's with these two disciples, they need prayer. Anyway, "Two of the women amazed us. They went to the tomb early in the morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who had said he was alive. Then some of our company went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see Jesus. Then Jesus said to them, 'How foolish you are and how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things?'" It's like Jesus is saying, "Didn't you know I had to go to the cross?" But then this little key, little addendum here, "and then enter into my glory." It's like Jesus is saying, "Hey, didn't you know I had to go to the cross, but I'm not there anymore." And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said about him in all the scriptures concerning himself." Notice they still don't know this is Jesus. "And they approached the village in which they were going. Jesus continued as if he was just gonna leave them and go a little further. And they urged him strongly, saying, 'Stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over.' So he went to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took the bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight." What an experience. "They asked each other this question, 'Were not our hearts burning within us while we were talking with him on the road and he opened up the scriptures to them?'" incredible story about Jesus' resurrection. I want to tag on one little verse there that happened right before this when the women went to the tomb. This is what the angel said in Luke chapter 24, verse 6. Why do you look for the living amongst the dead? I think that's a great question to ask this morning. It's one I'm going to try to answer in a really powerful way. And that's why today I want to talk to you from this topic or this thought. The cross equals love. The resurrection equals life. The cross equals love. The resurrection equals life. Let's pray. Jesus, we thank you for your presence that is here. We thank you that you are alive and you are present in this room. So we pray that you would come and Holy Spirit, do what you do best. Show us who Jesus is. Show us what he's wanting to do in our lives. May we open up our hearts today and embrace him to the fullest. Lord, we worship you, we honor you, and we praise you. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Come on, if we love Jesus in this house, can we put our hands together for him one time? So I've got a question for you. Have you ever had an experience that just stuck with you for a long time? Like you just had one of those experiences. It's one of those that you periodically either go back and reminisce about or you sometimes have dreams about. It was just a powerful experience that you just kind of keep on revisiting. I had one of these experiences happen to me when I was 19. I had just became a Christian. I was about 8 months of following Jesus and I was just so in love with Jesus. It was such a brand new journey for me. And one of my friends said, hey, I've got a ticket to an event in Mesa, Arizona. I lived in Tucson, Arizona. He said, do you want to go with me? I said, well, sure. I think, what is it? And he goes, I got tickets to the U2 concert in Sun Devil Stadium. Now, when your friend tells you that he has U2 tickets that are free and he wants to take you, what do you say? There is a God, he does live, praise you, Jesus. You know what I mean? Like, he's gotta be excited about that. U2 is one of my favorite bands of all time. They are the GOAT. And I was so excited. Now, this was an open-air stadium, okay, Sun Devil Stadium. We got there early. I've never seen so many people at a concert. One person told me there was about 85,000 people there that day for a concert. And everybody's filing in and packing in, and the stadium's filling up. And we had to wait for the sun to go down before it started. So it was like 9 o'clock before they even started, like, some of the pre-show kind of stuff. And as the sun began to set and they cranked into the show, I was just blown away. I mean, from the songs to the production to Edge. Some of you know who that is. If you don't, Google it. He's the guitar player for U2. He's brilliant. And I was just watching this whole thing almost just in awe. And there's something almost like surreal about hearing 85,000 people sing in unison. There's just something weird about it, and it's moving in some ways. And I remember sitting there, and then they started into one of my favorite songs, and it's one of their famous songs. I was so excited. It's "I Still Haven't Found What I'm Looking For." How many of you know the song? I think we got it in the back. We'll give it a little listen here. Why don't you check this out? Ooh, that's good music right there. Oh, it's great music. You know what I mean? Imagine 85,000 people singing this in unison. And I remember sitting there and just listening to people singing this song. And I got this thought in my head now that I was a believer. I'm like, wow, you know why I think this song resonates so much? Because I think it's the cry of most of humanity's heart. That we are searching for something, but we just quite haven't found it yet. And I began to listen to this, and I was sitting there, and I was just moved by the moment. And then they got to the last verse of the song. And for me hearing this song for the first time as a believer, this last verse of the song, it hit me like a ton of bricks. I want you to see the words to it. It says, "You broke the bonds and you loosened the chains. You carried the cross of my shame. You know I believe it, but I still haven't found what I'm looking for." And for the first time, it was like I heard this song for the first time, and tears just began to well up in my eyes in the middle of this stadium, you know, 85,000 people singing a song, and I'm having a moment with God, and I'm crying. And at first, I was agitated. I was like, how can somebody sing about the cross that way? Like, I know you took away my sin. I know you took away my shame. I believe it, but I still haven't found what I'm looking for. I mean, at first I was just like, man, I'm so in love with Jesus. He's everything that I've been looking for. I was a mess before I met him, and now I feel so alive. And I begin to cry thinking about that people were seeing that. And then all of a sudden, it was like in this moment, just between me and God, the Holy Spirit whispered these words to me. If you're only looking for Jesus on the cross, you will miss the resurrected life. See, the words of the song is I know you carried my sin and you carried my shame. I know you bore it on the cross and I believe it. But there was still something missing just simply looking at Jesus on the cross from his life. And I can't help but think that this is a lot of people. I think the message of the cross has become famous in our society. We've made little things that we hang around on the wall, Jesus on the cross, Jesus on the cross around our necklace. We've kind of almost celebrated the cross to a point that we've missed that that's not the entire story. Like, we've missed that Jesus can no longer be found on the cross. We are thankful for the cross. The cross has redeemed us. But friends, could it be that we will miss the resurrected life that Jesus promised us if we keep on looking for only the Jesus on the cross? You know what I found in my own life is that we often look for the right things in the wrong places. Because I still haven't found what I'm looking for. See, the reality is that most of us would desire in this room a life full of joy, abundance. I think it's called the fruits of the Holy Spirit, that you would walk in love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, and self-control. How many could use a little bit of that in your life? I could use a little bit more love. I could use a little bit more joy. But could it be that we're looking for some of these things, the right things, just maybe in the wrong place? See, this is where the disciples, these two disciples, we don't know their names. In Luke chapter 24, they're just on a journey to a town called Emmaus. They're walking together, and what does the Bible tell us? That they are talking about what had happened. Isn't it funny that sometimes we feel like we can find life in our future by looking to our past? In fact, the message of the cross is that your past needs to be left behind. That there's a brand new day and a brand new future out in front of you. And I just think that they are walking on this journey and they are rehearsing what has happened. See, I think sometimes in our Christianity, because we have the whole book, and we know the rest of the story, that we miss out on the timeline that the original disciples had to walk through. Think about it. They didn't get a crucified Savior and a risen Savior all in the last 5 minutes of a church service where somebody says, do you want to accept Jesus into your life? It wasn't neatly packaged like that. They actually had to walk through a process and experience different things. And I think on that timeline, see, the timeline of the story helps us find what we are looking for, but more importantly, where to find it. That if we embrace the process of understanding that there is a timeline to Jesus's death, burial, and resurrection, we will begin to look for the right things in the right places, because the timeline of the story, it helps us find what we're looking for, but it also helps us know where to find it. And the disciples, they're walking down the road and they're having this discussion. You can almost imagine what they've been through. They've watched Jesus heal the blind. They were there at the feeding of 5,000. They've experienced the 3.5 years of ministry, but they've also seen him betrayed. They've also seen him whipped to an inch of his life. They've also experienced the cross and the death. They experienced putting him in the tomb. And now they are in that crossing over point where they've heard rumors that The cross is past and the grave is empty, and they're talking about everything that has happened. What are they doing? They're talking about the cross. See, in their minds, the last place that they left Jesus was a crucified, dead Jesus that was in a place that they could go find him. Please hear me today. The last place that they, it's kind of like the thing we put on a wall, or just the thing that we hang around our neck. It's a safe place that we've laid him that we can check in when we need to. But here comes Jesus. I love this. Here comes Jesus, so committed to coming up in the middle of our lives on the road. He comes up. He can hear him talking. He almost walks up. Hey, what y'all talking about? It's almost, you can almost hear it, that he's going, hey, I know what you're talking about, and I'm not really sure that you're looking for the right things in the right places. And he comes up, and here's how we know that they're really not looking for the right things in the right places, is Jesus walks up, and they don't even recognize him. The Bible says that they're kept from seeing. Why? Because they're looking for the right thing in the wrong place. They're looking backwards to the cross, and they're not realizing that they are talking about the man who is walking on the road next to him. Could it be that many of us are reflecting on religious morality and dogma and doctrine, and we are reflecting on the past, and in the middle of it, we are missing the Jesus who is walking on the road right next to us? Here comes Jesus. Hey, what y'all talking about? And they go through the whole thing. Are you the only person who doesn't know about the cross? See, the reality is that most people know about the cross. Not most people are alive. Are you the only one who doesn't know about the cross? He's like, yeah, I was there. Yeah, he didn't say that, but he just kind of plays dumb, and he begins to ask him. They go through the whole spiel. Here's what happened. Here's whatever. And then he just stops him and he says, how long will you not believe? And then he said, didn't you know that the Messiah would have to suffer these things, but then he would enter into his glory? See, the cross was a doorway to the resurrected life that Jesus promises. And he's saying, hey, listen, I understand that. Didn't you know? Like, didn't you? Like, the Messiah had to go through the cross. But did you also know he doesn't live there anymore? And he's walking and he's talking and he begins to explain it to them. And their hearts are starting to come back alive. They're getting so excited about it. And they're walking and they're hearing. Can you imagine this moment? You have Jesus, who you don't know is Jesus, talking to you about himself. I mean, this is just surreal. I think it seems really surreal. I think it's much more applicable to a lot of people's lives than we think. We have a Jesus who's kind, who walks with us, who wants to be a part of our lives, but we've settled for a Jesus that's far away, religious, and stale. And Jesus walks up to him, and here's, after their encounter with him, they still don't know it's him. He says, okay, well, that's everything you needed to know. I'm gonna see you later. I'm gonna keep on going a little further. Notice their response. They begged him. They begged him to stay with them. They begged him to stay with them. I think, man, the world is begging for a resurrected Jesus to stay with them, to walk with them. Just stay with us. And the Bible says this, that now all of a sudden there's this transition almost in the story that you can feel, where Jesus is staying because he's trying to make a statement about, see, the cross. You want to know what the cross represents and what you can find on the cross? Here, let me explain this to you. What you can find at the cross is forgiveness of sin, peace between you and God, healing in our bodies and souls, taking away of sin and shame, freedom from guilt. You know what you can't find on the cross? A resurrected Savior, a resurrected life, a personal relationship with God, a personal relationship with God. And Jesus is making this transition where he's going, hey, I know you know now that the Messiah suffered these things to take away the sins of the world, but I'm about to show you what resurrected life is all about. See, the cross deals with the past. The resurrection deals with our future. And Jesus is trying to get, you know that thing you feel like you haven't found yet? I'm about to show you where to find it. And the Bible says that they sit down, and they sit down at a table. They sit down at a table and they begin to share a meal. Whenever you see the words breaking of bread, I mean, theologically, sometimes we'll translate that into Holy Communion. But friends, the way Jesus did Holy Communion and the way we've done it in our modern age, it ain't the same thing. Jesus sat down and had meals with people. He exchanged relationship with people. That's why it's called communion. There's a common unity of relationship. And Jesus sits down, and it's really interesting because he's a guest of these guys. So normally they would break the bread, but he stands up and he walks over and he grabs the bread. You will find Jesus doing this as a sign of relationships. He did it in the feeding of 5,000 to the masses. I am the bread of life. And he broke the bread and he fed them. He did it at the Last Supper where he sat with them, and he did it dozens of other times. Because why? Jesus built and changed people's lives around the table. He did it right here in relationship. He did it because that's what life is all about. And he sits there and he takes the bread. You can almost sense that like there's a statement being made without being said. And he takes the bread and he breaks it and he passes it around. And in that moment, they saw him, not for just a king on a cross, but a king that sits at the table, pours out love, life, grace, bread. What is Jesus doing right here? He's making a statement. He's making a statement that the resurrected life is not just about a morality, dogma, belief system. It is about a relational, life-giving, life-breathing relationship with the resurrected Savior. You know why I think sometimes we haven't found what we're looking for? Because we honestly, if I can step on a little bit of toes just for a moment, okay? I'll make you laugh here in a minute. We like the religious Jesus. We like him with his flowing locks. Come, I'm about to expound on the secrets of the universe. Oh, look at that lamb. That's beautiful. Can I hold it? We like him on a cross that we can hang. There's nothing wrong with that, guys. But you can't leave him there. You can't leave our Savior in a place that is not relational. You can't leave Jesus anywhere in your life but at the table. It's at the table that you will find bread for your life. It's at the table that you'll find a kind, passionate Savior that'll walk with you through everything. It's at the table. Can I tell you today, man, I'm so fed up. I am so fed up with like moralistic code. Great, I get it. I get it all. I get it all. We all want to be good people. We want God to be happy with us. But more than all of that, I want you to hear the cry of God through my mouth to you today. I didn't come to make bad people good. I came to make dead people alive. I want a relationship with you. I want to sit at the table. You get this through your head. Prayer isn't religious. It's not work. It's a relationship. I walk with him. It's kind of like these two guys. He just walks up next to me. In the middle of the road of my life. In the middle, I least expect it. He's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. See, he died for so much more than just the forgiveness of sin. He came to do away with your past so that you could enter into a brand new life with him. A brand new life. It's crazy. As soon as the disciples realize that Jesus is flowing in relationship, he's flowing in grace, he's flowing in feeding them the bread of life, there he is. And Jesus just goes, now that you got the point, want to make sure you got it, because I'll see you tomorrow. May not be sitting at a table, but I'm here. I'm present with you. I'll walk with you. I'll talk with you. And it's interesting, their response. Look at their response about what this felt like to them. Luke chapter 24, verse 21 says this, then their eyes were open and they recognized him, and then he disappeared from their sight. Then they looked at each other. It was like, so this is what we were looking for? Were not our hearts burning within us as he talked with us on the road? I'm sorry, I was crying. The world needs a relationship with Jesus. Our hearts are dead. I get it, we gotta deal with our past, but gosh, I'm telling you what, God loves your future too. He wants to build a life with you. He wants to walk with you. He wants to be your friend. He wants to be your friend. He wants to. You know what he wants to do? He wants to give you a beautiful relationship. Because here's why. Relationship with Jesus makes our hearts burn with life. See, you gotta pass through the cross. I get it. You gotta let your sin go. But we can't keep on visiting there over and over and over again. There's grace for you, okay? But you can find it in a brand new way without a Jesus that you gotta go back to and I'm here again, forgive me again. But a Jesus that walks with you and goes, hey, let me help with that. Can I help you beat that? Can I help you beat that? He's kind and lowly hearted. He comes along. He's a shepherd that will never leave. And today, there's people all over our world, all over this room, and all over our city. You know what they need? They don't need more religion or a great philosophy of morality. They need a Savior who's not on, just on a cross, but is alive and well and walking me. Could it be we've been looking for all the right things in the wrong places? He's here today. He's present today. And he wants you to know him. Why don't we stand to our feet? I want you to do something with me today. If you got your cell phone, if you feel comfortable, if you grab it out, and if your cell phone has a flashlight, I'd love for you to turn it on. Our guys are going to kind of help me here. They're going to kind of turn out the lights and try to make it as dark as I can. But whenever I ask a question, if it applies to you, just lift up your light. How many of you are glad you came to church today? Oh, these people back here have been naughty, naughty, naughty. Just playing. Truth time. How many of you know somebody who's desperately stuck in depression? Look at that. Look at, leave them up. I'd ask a more honest question, how many of it's you, but I don't want to embarrass anybody. How many of you know somebody that their marriage is really on the rocks right now and they need help, they need hope? How many of you know that somebody who has an addiction in their life? You know what this represents to me? That what Jesus did on the cross, friends, it's finished. But what the world really needs, we need a Savior who we don't leave on a cross, but that we believe will walk with us and can break addiction, can heal marriages, can set the captive free, can alleviate depression. There's hope for you. There's hope for you, and it's not just a better philosophy. It's in a person. His name's Jesus. He wants to walk with us. Here's what he wants to do. He wants to walk on the road of life with us through it all, through every season, through every storm. And we're gonna sing a song right now I want you to worship. I'm going to come up and talk again here in just a minute. But he's faithful. He'll walk with you through it all. Can we do that today? Jesus, we thank you today, Lord God, that you are faithful through it all.
Thanks for checking out the My City Church podcast. We hope that this message inspired you to love God, love people, and lead in life. If you'd like to connect with us further, please visit us on the web at mycitychurch.cc. Until next time, we are believing that the best is yet to come in your life.